honor of inviting our guest up, and I don't know how I can do justice. You know, this comes out of the Jesus movement for me. Don, you were part of that. Don Absher has just moved here from California, and he's my old hippie brother, and we were back there in those days where it was happening. Some of you know I was pastoring with Keith and Melody Green out in California and traveling with Keith, and we go to Jesus festivals, and Keith was one of the performers or one of the people that would play, and it seemed to me at least more than once there was a Larry Tomczak on the bill. I heard him when I was just a wee lad at Jesus festivals, along with Mario Murillo. These two forerunners helped shape where we are today. I have no question about it. They've never stopped preaching a message of winning the lost. And so we're really honored today that Larry could come and share. And then if you'll hang with us, at the very end, we'll tell you how you can get the book that impacted me back in those days in the late 70s. Clap your hands. You can get a free copy online. We'll show you how at the very end. Larry, we're going to give you all the time you need. Come on up. Larry Tomczak, make him feel welcome.
Thank you. Well, thank you, everybody. Hey, thank you. I love this man. And Jerry, honestly, my wife is not here right now with us, but my daughter's here, and she's the one that said, WWJD, we're going to change that to What Would Jerry Do? To inspire people, because, you know, we love you, and you've been such an influence on us.
Thank you.
And thank you for what you do here. These are not just flattery. This is the truth. And you're a friend. I love this guy. Honestly, what a joy. Well, I want to just say it's an honor to be able to be here today and take the baton, in a sense, from my buddy Mario. I've got memories when I think of him. He and I, there was a place during the Jesus movement. They called it seven major centers of charismatic activity in America, and one of them was a place called Melody Land Christian Center out in California. And boy, I'll tell you, major theological school, Rodman Williams, Catherine Kuhlman. I mean, but Mario would speak, and then I would speak, and we would interact. And so when Jerry told me Mario's going to be here, I mean, I was really excited. I said, you bet I'm there, man. I've been coming for whatever, 17, 18 years since we moved here and everything. But the funny thing was, little did I realize, weeks before, 40-some years of travel took its toll. Plus, my mom had been born without a hip socket, and I needed emergency, in a sense, hip replacement. And so when, you know, I contacted Jerry, I said, Jerry, I'm not going to be there. Give my love tomorrow, please, please, please. But I'm laid up here. They just did some major surgery. I'm here on my sofa. Jerry's been in our home many times and everything. And he said, well, I wasn't there either. He said, I didn't make it. And he said, guess what? Mario was there, and he has hip problems. And he was speaking in the chair, I guess, wasn't he, that day and everything. But he brought a word, and I believe it's the heart of God. And nothing has changed, really. If Mickey Robinson was here today, he'd say, you know what took place in that Jesus movement, the excitement. But we were all involved in witnessing and sharing. It wasn't, well, we're waiting for the big evangelist. We're waiting for the guy to come to town, the signs and wonders man and that. No, you know, everybody was involved. You're picking up people hitchhiking. You'd share the gospel. And I was involved in that. That's when I got saved. It was 1969. And I had been in a band called the Lost Souls. And we were lost, really. I was going nowhere in life. Shortly thereafter, my best buddy that lived three doors down from me was dead from drugs and alcohol. Imagine, he was in his early 20s. And yet God did a miracle in my life, because when my car broke down on the freeway in Cleveland, Ohio, nobody would pick me up. And I was standing there, bitter, angry, wet, the whole thing. And then this man pulled up in this little old car, a black minister, who not only gave me a ride, but he invited me to come out to his little ghetto church. And I had never been in a Protestant church. We were forbidden as Catholics. You did not go. That was anathema. But I said, sir, you gave me a ride, and because of that, I'll come. He gave me a little flyer, and he said, will you come? I said, you were kind enough. I'm coming. I went that day. I was not converted. A book came out of that he mentioned, Clap Your Hands. I'll tell you about that. There's a whole story in that thing. But after that, I was plunged into something that was taking place in America, front page of Time magazine. I was on a plane with you. We were going to hear whatever that was, Catherine Coleman, and I guess, and Jerry's interviewing me, and I'm saying, well, man, I'm just a baby Christian. And next thing you know, I'm catapulted into a job across the street from the White House. I'm not kidding you. You walk out the door, there was St. John's Church, there was Lafayette Park, and there was a White House. And one day I was walking on a prayer walk there as a baby Christian. A limo pulls up, they stop me, and the President of the United States got out. At that time, it was Richard Nixon. And I looked at him, I thought, whoa. And that's how I began the book, Clap Your Hands, that divine appointment, because I even said to him, I said, Mr. President, can I ask you something? And I had my Bible. I said, do you read this book? And he said, well, I not only read it, I even quote from it sometimes. And then he just kept going into the White House. Now, I'm going to tell you a lot of stories that I trust you're going to, you know, you'll be inspired by. But these are realities. These really are. They're divine appointments that I've had in my life. And then how I met my wife. We've been married 40. This will be 46 years this year. And what God has done, our children. I'm so proud of, really, where's my daughter, Mel? Where are you at? Hiding back there? There's Mel. Mel, give a hello wave. That's Melanie. Melanie recognizes divine appointments left and right. I mean, really, when Mick Jagger came to town, somehow, how's Mel get into that concert there for that? And Mertz, and there's Marilyn Manson, and what? But she's got some of the spirit. It's spilled over. And I want some of that to spill over today, because what I'm doing and sharing with you today is really, it's a divine appointment. God apprehended me. And he built into me something of a compassion for lost people. And I cannot just talk about it, folks. And the gig is up for a lot of us. I'm not saying this as a rebuke. But if you heard Mario, you heard him saying some things. And it's like, we talk, yeah, it's great, yeah, breakthrough, the outpouring, it's coming, the awakening, and all that stuff. But are we doing what Jesus said in terms of the fields are white? Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into the harvest. Don't just talk about it. I mean, I was interacting with Mike Bickle, you know, Kansas City, their team lost and that. But man, they're telling you this, man, we're going to have Arrowhead Stadium. Paul Kane said, you know, remember the day's going to come. And then Bob Jones said, it's going to happen. And this is the year. And Mike is saying, but Mike and Diane, they'll tell you this. This is not just about coming together for hoopla. It's called the send. If you remember when Uncle Lou was here, and Lou lived two doors down from me, Lou and I are buddies, we go way back. I imitate him, and I can do it well. But if Lou was here, he'd say, praise, let's see if I can do it. Praise God, man. This is not about just coming together for prayer. It's time that we're sent. God rebuked us and said, we've been praying 20 years. It's time to go out. We got to be ambassadors. We got to be ministers of reconciliation. That's why we're doing the send. We're going to send them out. And that's what Mario was saying at the end. That's what you say, yeah, it was a great message. I couldn't wait it. But it's time that we really are doers of the word and not just hearers. And so I've asked some people to share. Actually, there's a young man. I don't know if he's here yet. Is Daniel here? Where are you at? Daniel. Okay. Would you come on up? And my daughter, Melanie, her friend, Samantha, would you come up here? This is a two sweeties. This is a man of God, and let some of his spirits. I said, hey, can you both take 2 to 3 minutes? Now, you know, you say, well, who are these folks? You know what? They're just average, wonderful people that are taking serious lifestyle evangelism. And this man, especially with youth, a special anointing, and Samantha with girls that get trapped in sexual trafficking and all kinds of junk, really. So can you take a few minutes? Tell them, what are you doing, bro? Take it. I'm going to let you.
Yeah. So. I run a couple ministries in town, one called Fireplace, and what we do is we unite and equip believers to put Jesus' love into action. And so we do practical training and evangelism every Friday night at Harvest Sound, and then we go out on the streets and we break up into groups, do street evangelism. Sometimes we'll do street worship and gather around the street worship, and evangelists will minister to the people as they're drawn on the streets. Then we do another ministry called Wilco United, and Wilco United stands for Williamson County United. It's with high school students. We do Unity High School worship gatherings. after rival football games and basketball games at like 9:15 on a Friday night. Hundreds of high school students will come for these worship nights. It's very evangelistic in nature. Lots of students getting saved. And then we're a bridge back to local churches, healthy discipleship groups, and clubs on campuses as well. So that's what we're doing. But just this past year, we've seen God do amazing, amazing stuff. Year of 2021, I mean, unbelievable year. Saw over 1,000 high school students surrender their life to Jesus in Williamson County. Unbelievable. And just seeing God work and in the schools and students talking about Jesus and starting worship nights and Bible studies. And so we train students to adopt their own schools as a mission field. So we have 25 student leaders that adopt around 11 schools, and they start on campus worship nights, Bible studies, and we train them, and then they also rally for our events. And so we've just seen God just doing crazy signs and wonders, from our events to students getting healed and the whole school being like, well, how is that person walking? They were, you know, they're in a wheelchair last week and things like that. And then I'll just share one quick testimony from Fireplace. And we're going out on the streets. This was about maybe 3 months ago, and we were on the streets doing worship, and all of our evangelists are around the worship, and naturally it draws an even bigger crowd. We minister to the people, and this guy, he rolled up on a wheelchair. It's in the news. You can see in the Parthenon, a guy got assaulted in the back of his head with a hammer and a knife, and he had lost, I'm not great with biology, but lost the nervous system to his legs, so he was in a wheelchair. And some of our guys came up and asked if they could pray for him, and he said no. And then I had the team start singing, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And then they started singing, there's healing, healing, wonder-working healing in the blood of the Lamb. And he's sitting next to a pole, and he decides to get up out of his wheelchair for the first time since that assault. And he gets up and raises his hands, and then ends up testifying on the street and gets just completely healed in the presence of God, and got to share the gospel with him, surrendered his life to Jesus. So it's this type of stuff that we're seeing, and I really believe, like he was saying, the harvest is ripe.
Yes, amen, Daniel. I love it. Thank you. Don't leave, because we're going to pray at the end. And can you stay? Because when we're done, we want to pray. Okay. And Samantha is a friend of my daughter's. But listen, you see her and you talk to her. You say, oh, what a sweet young lady. I guess she was raised in a nice little home and missionary parents and everything. Tell your story and what you're doing, would you?
Thank you so much. So my name is Samantha Summers Rivas. I live in Las Vegas, Nevada. I run a sex industry survivor-led Christian faith-based nonprofit. We help women and children that have been sexually exploited and or trafficked. But not just the victims, we help the families as well, because we recognize that there is an attack on the nuclear family, and Satan wants nothing more than to destroy that family. And so we make sure that not only do we help the victims, we help their families as well. We do outreaches in local strip clubs, porn conventions, on the streets where the gals are being trafficked and sold. On one street, the youngest girl that was apprehended and arrested, unfortunately, for prostitution, which she was being trafficked, was 9 years old. So it's a really heavy ministry. There is a lot of trauma that we deal with, high-level trauma that we're dealing with day in and day out. But in the midst of all that, we get to see God's glory in the healing, restoration, and the rebuilding that he's doing in each and every one of their lives. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I came to know the Lord in Las Vegas, Nevada, which who would have thought? Myself and my husband and our two children, me and my husband have, in April, we're going on 23 years of being together. We have a 20-year-old daughter, Valerie, and a 15-year-old son. I myself worked in the sex industry when I was 18. I worked at an all-nude strip club. And my father was not around because he had passed away when I was 16. And so that's another reason why we make sure we offer services and resources to the whole family, because we recognize that when there's a missing parent, it creates vulnerabilities. Those vulnerabilities now make it easy for traffickers or predators to come in and commit these crimes with these victims. But in the midst, like I said, in the midst of all this trauma, we do see the power of God and how overwhelmed these girls are when they're told that they are precious, that they are valuable, that there is a king that sacrificed his life for them, even though all they've seen is men take from them, that there is a man that gave up his life for them. It is so impactful. And as heavy as it is, there's so much joy when you see that impact of these women and these young girls being told that Jesus loves them and he loved them so much that he died for them. I know that that impacted me. When I first came to know the Lord, I fell in love with Jesus, and I haven't fallen out of love since. I fall deeper and deeper in love with him. And so we are so blessed and so honored to be able to serve them. And Pastor Larry, I am so blessed and so honored to be able to be given this time. And we honor you and we love you. And thank you for leading with integrity and character and tenacity.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Samantha. Wow. Don't leave. We're going to pray at the end. I love it. I love it. Folks, the devil is a liar, and we say, yeah, he's a thief, yeah. Folks, we got to remember, he tries to paint an image that people are fine. Oh, they're doing fine. Folks, if we're discerning the times, like Jesus said, you can discern the weather, remember? But you're not discerning the times. There is such a void and a vacuum and an emptiness and fear that permeates people's lives today. COVID-19 and, oh, Omicron and, oh, what's happening with this? And what about gender and what's going on in the schools, LGBTQ? Folks, don't let people fool you by projecting an image. They're scared. They're lacking hope. They don't know where to turn. They've exhausted the sin spectrum in many ways. Well, married and living, now living with this guy, and then he used D, and then now I'm gay, I'm transgender, I guess, and maybe I'm a guy, maybe I'm a girl, and this is my daughter. And folks, that's going on all around. I mean, I woke up Monday morning, I look, and here's this gorgeous girl. What was she, 29, Miss USA? 29th floor, just leapt, committed suicide. What, you say, wait, what was she doing? She was gorgeous, an attorney. She has a show. She's on nationwide TV. Jumped to her death. Every day in my study, I look and I'll see Robin Williams' face on a book. Robin. There's the king of comedy. Whoa, he's blasted. He's the funniest guy. Killed himself. Sinead O'Connor, a week ago, her son, killed himself. You walk through checkout lines. There's Warren Beatty and his wife, and they're transgender. Jamie Lee Curtis and the transgender. And here's Cher, and little Chastity is now transgender. And folks, there's so much confusion. But you got to pull back the veil and recognize God loves every person, and he is seeking them. You go to Luke chapter 15, and you'll see. It's the only time you'll see these three parables, three times on the same theme, back to back to back. And what was it? Jesus was trying to emphasize and reinforce that what was the reason he came. Luke 19, he said, why did the Son of Man come? The Son of Man came to save and to seek the lost. Not just save them, but seek. That talks of proactivity. That talks of intentionality. That means decision making. And that means being inconvenienced at times. I've said for years, you know, think of this. Many opportunities for sharing the gospel come disguised as unwelcome interruptions. And if we're not sensitive, we just walk right by. I'm busy. I got stuff to do. I had to share with pastors. I listen to your sermons. I never hear illustrations of you sharing the gospel. I know you spent 27 hours preparing that sermon, and you can quote John Piper and D.A. Carson and all that. And then I hear you saying, yeah, when I go to Costco, man, I'm type A. I don't have time for things. I find the shortest line to get in and out because I got a mission. I got to study the word. Folks, I'm not putting that down. I study the word But at the same time, Paul told Timothy, he wasn't an evangelist, but he said, you do the work of an evangelist. And there is a commission, the final words in all the Gospels. And I'm going to show you a video that we prepared a little while ago, and it was coinciding with the death of Billy Graham, because there's no person that influenced my life more than Billy Graham with the Great Commission. And there's no person that influenced my life more on the Cultural Commission than Chuck Colson. But I've had the privilege to interact with some of these people. I met Billy Graham once, and he told me, he said, tell them, stay in the book. I never forgot. I said, what do we tell young people? He said, stay in the book. And then when Billy died, and I went to Montreal, there was his little coffin there. Not the little, the big coffin. And I remember I put my hands on there, and I said, oh, Lord, let some of his spirit come on me. Oh, God, I want to take it. And I remember when his daughter, and I love Ann Graham, and Billy said, she's a better preacher than me. I never forgot when he said that. She was powerful. And she said, we now, with Daddy's passing, can no longer use the excuse, well, Daddy will do it. She said, Daddy's gone to heaven. But now we need to respond. It's the church. It's lifestyle. It's all of us. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5:11. We're ministers of reconciliation. We compel individuals. We are ambassadors for Christ. And you know what? Many times people stiffen up and they say, well, I don't know, I'm going to WCA. I don't want to hear evangelism. I get condemned. I know that. That's good. Our church has, you know, we got a campus ministry. We have the young people. They go out. That's our evangelism. No. I want to challenge us today, and I'm going to show you a video shortly, because to me, lifestyle evangelism is natural, it's enjoyable, and it's relational. That's the method of the master. It's not stiff programs. It's not, well, I'm awkward and I don't have boldness and I leave it to the Daniel McLeod and his dad and others like that, or Melanie, she's more outgoing. But they should just, no, we're all called to go down this path. And it's an adventure. I walked into a store once, listen to this, into a restaurant. I never forgot this. This was Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I've always had this sense of the adventure, and that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and that I'm his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under the good works that he prepared in advance that I walk in them. And I've always had this sense since I came to Christ that he's leading and guiding and sees the opportunities. Well, Derek Prince was speaking at a leaders gathering we had. It was an opening night, and it was just brief. People had traveled in. And then I remember two other guys, and Derek and I had the privilege to know Derek. I've been in Intercessors for America almost 50 years. We celebrate this next year. Derek's been with me in the home. I've ministered with him. I'll never forget when we walked in, there was a divine appointment. I won't get into it. I just shared something, the gospel. I gave my gospel track. And you know what? Derek took me aside. I said, Larry, come here. And I can't imitate him. He was very proper. I have something to tell. If you don't know Derek, he was the finest Bible teacher of the 20th century. And you know what? He looked at me and he said, Larry, he said, the hand of God is on you. And there's something very unique about how God orchestrates providentially situations and people. And he said, and you capitalize on them. You don't miss them. You somehow take advantage in a good way of those situations to share the gospel and advance the kingdom. And it's something very unique that God has done in you. Use it to help others. And I believe that. And sometimes I share illustrations, as you'll see in this video, because when I cite that I went into a Davis Kid bookstore, the moment we came here, I turned, there was Nicole Kidman right next to me. Catholic background. That was mine. Talked to her, gave her my track, told my daughter, and then said, you know what? I know they're going to have another baby. They had the little one somewhere. Catholic background, and I think she's doing it surrogate to somebody. I'm going to believe God. I wrote a book on raising children. In fact, I brought 10. I got a few books there. There's just 10 and 10. And I told my daughter, you ask her. I said, I believe God. And I'm putting that book in my car. I pulled up at Thoroughbred 20 Theater. And you know what? I was there. And all of a sudden I looked up. There was Keith Urban. And there was Nicole. I took that book. I walked out. And I kept my distance. I don't want to scare them. And they looked at me, and I kept back, and I said, Keith, Nicole, I said, I said, do you have a second? I said, I just want to say we're so glad you guys live here. And I just know you're having another child or had a child. And I have a little book here that helps people in raising children to be respectful and in a good way. Can I give you a copy, Nicole? And I handed it to Keith, and he said, God bless, man. That's what he said. He said, God bless, man. And then he handed it over to Nicole, and she was looking at it. Folks, that is a divine appointment. That was a divine appointment. And in the past just weeks, I felt the Lord just tell me. Tell him what you're doing, Larry. Just walk. This is me. I had a call from a guy in D.C., Bill Galbraith. He said, Larry, just tell him about your days. Okay, well, let's see. What would I say? I'd say, well, I walked into the Marriott last week, and when I was there, I saw a man, and I greet people. You got it. There's no impact without contact. You can't go about your life and just avoid. But to say, hey, how's it going, man? You notice Alabama? Hey, Roll Tide. You see something of a sports, or you see something tightened, to say, hey, what do you think? Can they do it? And you make a contact. You find a way. You love people. The baby's there. Oh, that baby is so cute. How old is he? Oh, my, is this your first? And so I have in my life passed out tens of thousands of personal testimony tracts. They're my story. Just like Paul in Acts, three times he shared his testimony. You got a testimony, you got it all over a person that has an argument. And you know what? I'd say if I gave out 10,000 tracts, I bet I've had 10 refused. You say, people don't want tracts. Oh, yeah, they don't want tracts that say, where you going? You're going to hell. That's not what we're talking. But to give something to somebody and not be fooled. The mass of humanity live lives of quiet desperation. That was by a poet. And that's the fact. I was in a bar recently with, believe it or not, my wife for her birthday. We went to a honky-tonk kind of, you know, and we're there. And I'm looking, and folks, I'm not judging people wrongly, but I see people around, and my heart aches. I see loneliness. I see hurt. I see people desperately looking for somebody. I mean, last night before bed, I heard a song. Remember a song by Billy Joel called Piano Man? Listen to that song. I can't help but cry when I hear that song. It's a description of our culture and people. Loneliness. Looking in their beer. And you say, nah, I don't think. People look like they got it together. They don't. Apart, there is no peace for the wicked. And people are going to hell. Well, we don't talk about hell anymore. You got to say, God's a good God. Diversity, tolerance, it's a new day. No, folks. Apart from the sacrificial, substitutionary death of our Lord Jesus and putting our trust totally in him and his finished work, people are, they're facing eternal separation from God in hell. So you say, Larry, I want to get involved in this kind of stuff. Look at this. Just sent me. Somebody just sent me this. You can look at it if you want. I'll put it up here. Here's 8 or 10 personal testimony tracts. This was just sent me. Mike and Debbie. Larry, I just want to thank you. I caught what you shared about lifestyle evangelism. And she gives me a letter here for 3 pages. And she's saying, we did this, and we went on a cruise. And they were all Jewish people. And then everybody, we shared our life and our tracks with them. And she says, now our children, our grandchildren, my daughter, they've all done this. And we are involved in the adventure. And every day, we're like that sower going out. The seed is the word of God, Jesus said. And we're connecting with people, loving and serving, and people in the neighborhood and at work. And we're finding ways to plant the seed. And she sent this to me. You say, well, Larry, that sounds exciting. Well, I didn't know this till recently, but here's our buddy James Gall, who's a dear friend of 40 years. Do you know that James took part in the adventure in his neighborhood? This is his Christmas singing. See, James is Robert Goulet in disguise. He's, you know, he's whatever. But you know, James went out in his neighborhood and he gave this to people. He made a connection. You say, Larry, I'd never do that. I hear you go to block parties. Yes, I do. With my wife. And I learn the names of people so that then in the coming weeks when I see them, I can say, hey, Jim, how did you do on that test? Mary, did you go through, did the surgery, was everything okay? Folks, that's what it is. Yesterday, you know where my wife and I were? Literally, there's a little Indian girl next door. We've had this couple in our home. And you know what? She turned 10 yesterday. I bought her a bag of Snickers. We had a card. And my wife got the flowers. And we connected. What is that doing? We're building a platform and bridges with people. By this, all men will know you're my disciples. You have love for one another. We're not just like little groundhogs. Oh, I got my little remote. I get in and out of my garage because I don't want it to be contaminated by the lost people that are so evil today in this world. Oh, Jesus was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yeah, but I don't want to go near that. Do you know I've been to probably about 21 LGBTQ gay pride events? I don't participate in anything, but I go. I love people. I interact. I give out my tracts. I have a blast. I spend a day. You say, I wouldn't go near that kind of stuff. Why? Why? These young people today, Daniel, what are you doing? They're the drugs and fentanyl now, and now the sex and the AIDS and all that stuff. Get away from that kind of stuff. Really? They're lost. All right, now, watch with me this little video, and then we're going to pray. But I hope, because I love this. You say, Larry, you sound passionate. I am. And I'm passionate to impart something. And I don't want Mario, when I talk to him, saying, yeah, they were really stirred, and they're passing that and streaming it on. Is anybody doing anything? I don't know, but they're waiting for you to come back and stir us with more. No, we want to be stirred, but then we're stirred to share the gospel. It's our privilege. Let's watch this.
Well, we've been on a journey together, and now we have come to number 5, and this one is the miracle. And the new birth is a miracle. In fact, let me give you a definition. An extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. An amazing or wonderful event. You know, in John 3, Jesus told a religious leader, he came to him at night and he acknowledged, you know, his divinity and that he had to be born again, Jesus said, to see and enter the kingdom of God. That's the rule and reign of God. Now, the guy was perplexed. He wondered, how does an older person enter a second time into his mother's womb? Well, Jesus explained it was a miracle. And whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then he added, but he who doesn't believe is condemned already. Now, as his ambassadors, we're commissioned. And I want to thank you. This has been a joy to serve you. And we're privileged to tell this miraculous good news to our world. And we're going to end with 7 basics enabling us to do this faithfully and enjoyably. We're going to rehearse the basics. Now, let me show you something. This is a football. And do you know what? Do you know that Vince Lombardi, the greatest coach, many say in pro football history, give the Lombardi trophy. Do you know how he started every season in the locker room with all his players? He held up the football and said, this is a football. You never make any apologies for rehearsing the basics. So let's walk through these 7. Number 1, the primacy of evangelism. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, listen to this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, this is how he began his administration or his ministry, the very first thing. You know, I have a wonderful picture here. I want to show you. It's in my study, and it's of Ronald Reagan, and it's autographed. And he was a tremendous president. But you know what? He began his administration with an inaugural address. And coaches do that, CEOs. What did Jesus talk about? Well, he said this, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He's anointed me to proclaim good news, the gospel. You say, why didn't he say the family and finances? And what about the teaching ministry? Those are all important. But he started with good news. So this is primary. It was Paul's magnificent obsession. In Romans 1, he gave 3 I am's. You can look at it in verses 14 to 16. He said, I'm under obligation. He said, I'm eager. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And then, you know, Psalm 96:2 says, proclaim his salvation day after day. And that's what we want to do in lifestyle evangelism. Now, many years ago in Lausanne, Switzerland, and I was there in Switzerland, they came up, thousands of leaders from around the world, what they called the Lausanne Covenant. Billy Graham was instrumental in this group. And this covenant says this, we need to acknowledge that of all the tragic needs of human beings, none is greater than their alienation from their creator and the terrible reality of eternal death for those who refuse to repent and believe. Rather than be guilty of an inexcusable lack of human compassion, we are privileged to commit ourselves with urgency to this task of evangelism. Join me. That's what we're doing, okay? Now, one of the leaders, Stephen Alford, he said this: it is characteristic of our natural sluggishness and laziness to put off the work of evangelism. It is work. Paul told Timothy, do the work, okay? So by cunning calculations and clever rationalizations, we talk ourselves out of the urgency of the task and the demand upon our time, talents, and treasures. How we need to ask the Holy Spirit to rid us of all unbelief, indifference, prejudice, and hard-heartedness. Let's do it. How about the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon? You like this quote from him? If sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for. Woo! Let me help you. Let's stay on track. And I say this, one of the greatest discoveries a man makes, one of his great surprises, is to find he can do what he was afraid he couldn't do. That's Henry Ford. So we can do this, okay? Now, number two, basic relationship. This has been a thread throughout. Do you know that 90% of people who come to Christ come through a relationship? And you know, programs, that doesn't mean we discredit programs, but 2 to 4%. Sometimes there's pre-evangelism. You know, William Wilberforce, he is one of my heroes. He was 20 in the Parliament in England, and he's called history's greatest social reformer. And you know, this man stopped the slave trade, and his influence reverberated to America. You know how he came to the Lord? He was in a carriage with a friend, and as they were riding, the guy talked to him, shared with him. He called it the Great Change. Now, listen to this. This graphic, I want to refer to again. Just look at it on the screen, and let me just fill in. As you kind of look around this graphic, let me just cite a few. Do you know that when I moved to D.C., I lived in a home with an elderly lady. I lived upstairs, and I paid minimal rent. But you know what? Through my time in that home over the years, I cut her lawn. I did everything I could to reach out to her. Do you know before I left, I shared the gospel with her and she came to Christ? Do you know that I had a friend in Fairfax, Virginia, and he was a gay man and he had a daughter and it cost him his marriage. But you know, John was dying of AIDS. See, the world doesn't tell you that. It's gay. But you know what? He died. He had AIDS. But before he died, I was privileged to lead him to Christ. He repented, gave his life to Christ. He renounced his lifestyle, and he asked me, and I did. I spoke at his memorial service with all the LGBTQ advocates there. I shared the gospel. I have one more for you. Do you know that there was a lady that was dying? She was the mother of one of my dear friends. And when I came home one day from D.C. and I came back to Cleveland, I went into the home, and my friend said, my mom's dying. And you know what? I went into the bedroom, even though I know you say, Larry, you got to be sensitive in these moments. But I slipped in a beautiful way, shared the gospel with her. And I'll tell you, I led her to Christ before she died. And she came out of a coma. She was like literally out of it. You say, how could this happen? But see, this is when we're faithful, doing the work of the Lord. Okay? Now, number three basic is providence. What does that mean? Well, God provides and God is at work. That's why we talk about divine appointments. Now, God is at work. My friend Cheyenne, he's a major leader, an apostolic evangelist. And you know, he came to me and said when he was just converted, he said, will you disciple me? What an honor it was, this man of God. But do you know what? He was at a rock concert. He was selling drugs. He was an absolute mess in his life. And while he was at a rock concert, some guys in front of him turned around and looked at him and they said, you don't belong here. You need to go. Now, Che doesn't know if those were angels, but how do you explain that? That was a divine appointment. Do you know 9/11, what a tragedy that was in America's history? Do you know there was a couple that was driving and they had a mishap with their car? I don't know, it was a flat tire or something. They missed the flight. Well, that was one of the flights that went down. Well, the dad of the fella called, worried, and he said, oh, thank God, you're okay. Well, the dad was a fireman in New York. And do you know that when he was there in New York, he was unsaved, and the son was praying for him. Do you know that the dad was killed in the World Trade Center? But months later, that couple that was spared, there was a knock on their door, and a lady came with a baby, and she said to him, do you know what? We were in that World Trade Center. We shared the gospel, I did, with your dad, and he prayed and repented and gave his life to Christ. And she said, this baby that I'm holding, she said, is named after your dad. How do you explain these kind of things, folks? There's a guy named Kimball, not Richard Kimball from the Fugitive series, but Kimball, and he was an ordinary guy, and he went into a Boston shoe store, and he started to share with the clerk there. I've been right outside that store. The guy that was the clerk was a man named Dwight L. Moody. He led him to the Lord. Do you know, a number of years later, D.L. Moody was ministering, and there was a student named William Chapman, and he heard the gospel. He came to Christ. He was converted. And then he had some meetings, and he hired a guy named Billy Sunday that was a former baseball player. And at a YMCA, Billy Sunday shares the gospel. And at that meeting, there was businessmen from Charlotte, North Carolina. And they said, this is good. We need to do something like this here. So they looked for somebody they could get, and they got a fella to share in the meeting, a good evangelist named, get this, Mordecai Ham. I know it's a funny name. But Mordecai Ham preached. Well, little did he know, there was a young fella that wasn't walking with God, but a friend invited this young man to come to the meeting. That young man got converted. That was Billy Graham. 215 million people reached with the gospel, prayed with Eisenhower, the president, before he died. Folks, do you see this? God's providence. How about with Thanksgiving? Let me give you one more. You know who Squanto is, the Indian? 1621, the pilgrims come over, half of them die. And Governor Bradford writes in the journal that what happened to rescue them and enable them to have a good crop and have treaties with the Indians was there was an Indian that just came out. His name was Squanto. Well, where did Squanto come from? Well, he had been kidnapped by Spaniards. He became a slave. They took him to Europe. But there were Christian ministers that shared the gospel with him, shared with him from the Bible. He was converted, became a missionary, and said, I want to go back to America and reach the Indians. He gives back. Who does he meet? The pilgrims. Hey, think of that when Thanksgiving comes. This is God's providence. I got to give one more. Gideon's, they supplied Bibles. You know what? They gave students Bibles in this one city. And this young girl, she took home the little, I guess, New Testament, gave it to her dad. Her dad was not interested, but he put it in his pocket. He went to a mine that day and where he worked, and the mine collapsed. Do you know that none of them were saved? And when they dug out the bodies and everything, they found the dad, and the Bible was next to him. And on the commitment page, all 34 of the miners that died had signed as conversions. I tell you, I love this because this is the reality. Don't let the devil lie to you. These are far out. These don't happen. That's from the pit of hell. You and I, we are going to reach people. Now, I'm going to give you something here that's going to surprise you. I'm going to run through a quick list of high-profile celebrity people. I'm not trying to impress you, but you know what? I pray for divine appointments. I expect divine appointments, and I'm prepared. That's why I'm faithful. And God, whether it's a little maid that I know or the garbage man, a neighbor, or celebrities, I'm ready. And so I want to share, listen to this. This is just a list of some of the people. And by the way, I've given my tracks. I'll show you some picture. This is, maybe you've seen on TV, Jane Seymour with her TV series. Shared with her, gave her my little track. You know that Donald Rumsfeld, this was a man that was Secretary of Defense in the cabinet. I have a friend that reached out to, believe it or not, get this, Paul McCartney. I mean, I could go in, Robert Dole, Vice President of the United States. I could go on, but listen to this. Listen to this. This will be fast. But these are people, and I reached them. I was able to one day meet President Nixon, and I shared with him. Hank Aaron, baseball player. Charlton Heston. I was out in California. I gave him the track. Charlton Heston, he was Ben-Hur and Moses. How's that one for you? Nicole Kidman. I live in the Nashville area, and her husband, Keith Urban. I gave him track. I gave him a book on child rearing. How about Jesse Jackson? Bob Dole, Donald Rumsfeld, Nancy Sinatra, Frank's daughter. I said Jane Seymour. Johnny Unitas, quarterback. Martin Sheen. Thurgood Marshall, Supreme Court Justice. That's a whole story in itself, how God allowed me to reach out to him. How about Tony Bennett? Evander Holyfield, the boxer. Ted Kennedy, Ralph Nader, Newt Gingrich, Jim Valvano. This was the coach of NC State. I went to his home. I just took a step of faith. I talked to his wife. I gave him my book, Clap Your Hands. And then I went back and I was able to share with him. And he's, well, that's too long of a story. But folks, how does this happen? How about Scott Paley from CBS? Mike Krzyzewski, a basketball coach. Janet Reno, Jim Kelly, quarterback. Mrs. Imelda Marcos from the Philippines, the first lady of the Philippines, talked with her. I have a picture of that. Joe Theismann, quarterback. Geraldo Rivera, Arthur Blank from Atlanta, the owner of the team there. And Terry Bradshaw, Chuck Yeager, Peyton Manning, Donald Sutherland, Dave Barry, James. I could go on and on and on, but I'm not trying to impress. I just want you to know. People say, I don't understand how you have these high-profile divine appointments. I pray. I expect them, and I'm always prepared. Come on, I want to challenge you. All right, the fourth basic is this, compassion. I review this and reinforce it. You look at people, they project an image, everything's fine. They can be going through a divorce. They can be getting up in years thinking, I'll never marry. They're on their third marriage. They've got AIDS. They're in serious debt. Don't be fooled by the comments. Robin Williams hung himself. One of the great comedians of all time, hangs himself. There's an MMA lady that when she lost, some of you know Ronda Rousey in the paper, she said, I was thinking of killing myself. I'm quoting, I'm nothing. What do I do anymore? No one gives a blank about me. Folks, they're all around us. Come on. See this? This is a plaque I keep in my room. I shall pass through this world but once. Therefore, any good I can do, any kindness I can show, let me do it now and not defer or neglect it. For I will not pass this way again. They're around us every single day. You know what? Tim Keller's the great, I love this man of God, pastor. He says this. He says, there's three groups of people out there. Yes, there's some that are hostile, but the majority are clueless. And then there's others that are impressed, but they don't know why you're able to live the life you do. How about General Booth? Compassion, folks. This man, Salvation Army, when he was aged and frail, he couldn't make their final, this North American, convocation. And so they said, well, if you can't, can you send a telegram? So he sent a telegram, and they read it the first night in opening this convocation. You know what was in there? They said, from General Booth, one word, others. Others. The fields are white. Mother Teresa, what a woman that impacted the world. You know what? The mission of charity? They asked her, why do you reach these outcasts in Calcutta? She says, we are a contemplative order. We contemplate and meditate on Jesus. And then we go out and we look for him in disguise. You know, I told you I walk in a mall. I was there a little bit back and I'm walking. There was a store. They were closing. They were packing up. And I, I'm telling you, I take initiative, engage, talk. And I ended up talking for about 15 minutes. Do you know that in my conversation, the lady said that her 18-month-old son died recently eating a nugget in the food court right next door? She was devastated. She said, we waited 5 years. I empathized. I listened. I shared the mystery of suffering. I talked about Job. My experiences. Yes, and I gave her my personal testimony track. They were overwhelmed and thankful. Number fifth basic is inconvenience. Now, let's pause here because this is a big one. Are you willing to be inconvenienced? Many opportunities for sharing Christ come disguised as unwelcome interruptions. You're going to have to slow down, shift gears. You know, I don't know about you, but Krispy Kreme, they have that big red neon sign when you're driving. It says, hot donuts now. That means they're coming off the conveyor belt. And I know this guy, he said, the sign wasn't on, but he and his wife said, let's go get some donuts. So they went in. And when he got in there were these delicious, soft, fresh, gooey donuts. And he said to the lady, he said, you know what, ma'am, you forgot to put the sign on. And you know what she said? She said, oh, no, I didn't forget. She said, when I put that sign on, it gets too busy and too hectic, so I don't turn it on. What? You know what that is? Self-focus. It would inconvenience me. That's what happened with the disciples in John chapter 4. Jesus is with the woman at the well, which led to a major revival in a city, but they were concerned about food and all the rest of that. I was in Cleveland, Ohio a little while ago, and I have some wonderful relatives, and I hadn't seen one of my relatives in 30 years. And while I was in Cleveland for a political event, I said to my wife, why don't we go see this relative? We drove a half hour. We spent 3 hours. You say, well, Larry, I got too much to do Bible studies and study the word. No, these are people you want to reach. Do you know, I watched a relative caring for his spouse. And when we left, I was able to give my little track. We prayed together. after I left, this relative had some surgery. This was, I don't know, a month or two later. And they found him when he came out of the surgery, dead on the floor in his house. Tremendous man. But I know I did what I could to reach just like I do everybody. Now listen, number six, I got this last invitation. There come times when you need to give somebody an invitation to come to Christ. We talked about Spurgeon. Don't get super spiritual about this. Well, when somebody walks, they'll be like Paul's conversion. Yes, there can be. Or you say, well, I wait for angels to do it. Yes, an angel can do something. But God has commissioned us. It's our honor. It's our sacred trust and privilege. You know, if the Protestants, they say, had a pope, the late John Stott would have been that man. But John Stott, how did he come to the Lord? He was 17 years of old. And you know what? He heard a guy, somebody invited him, heard a sermon. What are you going to do with Jesus? And afterwards, somebody came and gave him an invitation, said, Revelation 3, I stand at the door, knock. Stott responded. He came to faith that day and yielded to Christ. I have a brother-in-law. His name's Bill. Bill came to a concert, a music concert. He was invited. And the guy named Phil Kagi, a friend of mine, was playing. Do you know that afterwards Phil invited people to come, you know, that had a question about what to do? And I went over. There was my brother-in-law. Do you know I was privileged to pray with him? And he came to, you know, he had his conversion experience. But I had to say that to him. Now you say, well, Larry, I don't want to pressure people. I don't like to. You know, there come times we need to say, now's the acceptable time. Now's the day of salvation. Bill or Jack or Mary, what would you be waiting for? What would hold you back? You have no guarantees. You know, D.L. Moody, I mentioned him, the great evangelist. He was preaching in a crusade, a massive, in Chicago. You look this up. And that night when he preached, he didn't feel he really was hitting the mark. And so he didn't give any invitation. Well, do you know that shortly, right after that, the great Chicago fire hit. 300 people died. 100,000 were displaced. And D.L. Moody said, people died that were probably in that meeting. He said, I'll never do that again. I'm going to give that invitation. And number seven, this is the last basic, is this. Here it goes. Designer tracks. Tracks. A man with an experience, I believe, has it all over the man with an argument. Paul shared his testimony. You read the book of Acts three times. Scripture tells us they overcame him. That's Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives even unto the death. I want to ask you, will you join me? It's an adventure and it's fun. Be a candidate to help redeem a powerful tool that's been used throughout history to reach people with the gospel. Will you invest some time to put your unique story into print? You can do it at home. You can do it. I go to a printer. God always supplies the finances, and it'll help change the lives of people in darkness. This isn't old school, but it's a revolutionary weapon, I believe, to obliterate the strongholds of Satan. Are tracts effective? Well, study the Cultural Revolution with Mao Zedong. Read about communism. Read about how unions have had impact. How about campaigns? What about our American Revolution? Thomas Paine, it was tracts put into a book later. How about Martin Luther and the reformers? You know, we adopted a Korean daughter, South Korea. You know what? South Koreans reach into North Korea by having helium-filled balloons, and they attached little gospel tracts to send it. And I'm going back to my buddy, Charles Spurgeon. He said this, when preaching and private talk are not available, you have a track ready. This is often an effectual method. A gospel track may often be the seed of eternal life. Therefore, don't go out without your tracts. Who's been converted through tracts? I don't have the time. We're running out. Hudson Taylor, George Whitefield, one of the greatest preachers in America and the world. Moisey Rosen, who founded Jews for Jesus, through a tract from his wife. How about Mitsuo Fuchida, the man that was the air commander of the attack on Pearl Harbor? POW gave him this tract. He came to the Lord. Tom, I have a relative. Robin, a guy that's a pastor in a church. I got a letter recently from a couple. They took a cruise, and they had their little gospel tracts, and they wrote me, and they said this. Listen to this. We would end conversations with people we interacted with during the week, and you know what? We'd ask, could we give you our story, our spiritual journey? They said everyone would read the tract, and later on, they'd bump into these people. They'd see them on the ship, and the people would tell them how your story has so touched our hearts, and many of these people were Jewish. Amazing how open, they said, you know, people were, and they didn't hesitate a minute, a moment to read our tracts. That was Mike and Debbie. I went to a class reunion. What about when you go? You say, well, we drive about sports and about, well, we did too, but you know what? I gave out my testimony tract to many, and it was amazing, the hurt and the broken lives I talked about. I met a guy, Jim Ratty. He's a buddy of mine. I led him to the Lord when he was in high school. And he was there. He said, I came here because I wanted to see you again and thank you. He said, I'm a coach. I'm honored to be the winningest, I guess, high school coach in Arizona history. And he says, the influence I have on people, that's one guy making a difference. But rewind the tape. So I'm going to close here. And I want to show you some sample of people's tracks. I wrote a book called Divine Appointments. It's on our website. And there's a sample, how to write one. You do it. But you know what? When I say tracks, can I show you this? Some of these you'll see, they look a little dated because I've got so many of them. I mean, really, I mean, these things people give, you can get in on this. But you know what? When I say tracks, I'm not talking about what you miss by being a Christian. And you open it up and inside, what does it say? It says, hell! And there's junkie. You're going to burn. No, I'm not saying those kind of tracks. I'm saying your testimony. Put it in a creative way. Now, as you watch and you listen, we're going to play the theme in a tribute to Billy Graham. Look at the creativity. And I want to ask you if you'll join and be part of an army God's raising up so we can see the return of our Lord as the gospel goes forth and we reach those that God gave his life for through his Son. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus said, now go, therefore, and remember, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. It's been an honor to be able to help you these 5 days. I said there's no cost. We paid it, but you know what? Anything you'd like to, you can donate right on the site. We're going to put it all to the pro-life cause to stamp out abortion. Now watch, here's some of these tracks to inspire you as we close the series. Thank you.
I go just as I am and waiting not to bid my soul of one dark block to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot.
I hope there was an impartation there because, you know, I was just sitting here. I thought, you know, a couple weeks ago, a week ago it was, I mentioned this. I was over at the Marriott and I walked there many times. I walked to the mall, whatever, get my exercise. And there was this guy. I just said, hey, how you doing? And he was in a sport coat, nice guy, about 45. And I said, how you doing? And he stopped and I said, are you part of the conference here? He said, no, I just was hired here. Divine appointment. I just was hired here. I don't know if he said banquet manager or something manager. And I said, welcome. Where are you from? Cleveland. Now, I checked. There's 20,000 cities in America. 20,000. I'm from Cleveland. He was from Cleveland. It gets better. This is last week. Peter. And I said, Peter, amazing. Cleveland, where? He said, East 216th Street. I said, I lived on East 200. And I said, Cleveland? I said, Holy Cross Church? Yeah, Holy Cross. Father McMonico. Yeah, same church. Now, you say, oh, Larry, those are weird. Those are No, I just wonder, do we have a God that cares about people and searches them out and puts us in? I could have walked right by that guy. So when I got home later, my wife said, Larry, clap your hands. Your story, the book. That went out to 250,000 people all over the globe. Catholic. So you know what I did? Next day, I wrote him a note. And I told him, just go to LarryTomczak.com. It's free. It's a free audiobook, and use it and send it to anybody you want. Now, that's what I call a divine appointment. And lastly, about a month and a half, was it back? The guy that played rhythm guitar in our band, Denny Carlton, dear friend of mine. I've known him 60 years. We've been friends. And Denny was in the area with his wife. And at dinner, he said, the former lead guitarist in our band, he said, you know, he's dying. And I said, what? He said, yeah. I heard through the grapevine, somebody said, now, why that was significant was because decades ago, I invited him out to lunch. So you got to be intentional. You got to take it. Larry, I don't have time to do that. I don't have money for that. Well, it's amazing how God will supply. And I sat with my buddy decades ago, and I shared the gospel with him at the end of our time. And I said, what would hold you back, Denny? And he said, Larry, he said, I live in Arizona. I've got a beautiful home. I got a gorgeous wife. I have a business making big bucks. I fly my plane. Why do I need God? That's what he said. And I said, well, Denny, I said, I am so glad you're prospering like this. But you know what? It may not always be that way, buddy. And I'm always here for you. Now, I just heard, this is what it was, when Denny, my other Denny came, he said, he's dying. I said, Denny, you're in Cleveland. You got to track him down. He said, I don't know where he's at, Cleveland. You're talking hundreds of thousands of people. Do you know, I went over to Grace Chapel that Sunday, and we had a little prayer time, and I said to the guy next to me, I said, hey, pray with me. I have a friend. He's really at death's door, and I, blah, 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 and I said, but I don't know how to reach him and whatever. And he said, what's his name? I said, what? He said, what's his name? So I gave him the name, Denny, the last name. And he took his phone. He said, here's his address, phone number, and everything. I said, wait a minute. I said, Ken, how did you do that? Well, I work with Tennessee Investigation. I have access to find people. Now, folks, you say, Larry, come on. No. So you know what I did? I got right to my other buddy. He was hesitant. He said, Larry, he's dying. He's on hospice. He's at home. I said, talk to his wife. Go over there. He went over there. He set it up. And while he's dying, my other friend Denny's there. The wife is there. And I'm on the phone. And we're talking. He was in a coma. Dying. And I prayed, my God, spare. God, bring him back. Bring him out of this. God, please, I pray. And all of a sudden I had this idea. And I said, Denny, I know you can hear me, buddy. We got a lot of memories in the lost souls and everything. But I said, hey, Denny, you know what? God gave me this. I said, I'm going to sing a few songs. And you tell me who the group was, okay? Come on. Sha la 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 la, live for today. Shala. And then I did another one, you know. I can't get no doo-doo-doo, Daddy. And all of a sudden, Denny came back. Wow. He came out of it. We prayed together. He repented. He put his trust in Jesus. And a number of days later, he died. Look at Luke 15. Woman, she's trying to find that lost coin. Jesus said, there's more joy in heaven. Look at him. Oh, here's the shepherd. 99. No, one needs. He goes after the one. What's that there? Next one. Oh, here's the prodigal. The father, he's there. That's the heart of God. God loves people. And he loves them so much, he seeks them out. And he wants to communicate the message that you and I have. So I want to pray with you. And please, any way I can help. This little video here, I did that right when Billy Graham was dying. I felt it was God's gift. You can just go Loving Lifestyle Evangelism. I got five of those. They're 20 minutes. You say, Larry, how much are they? Do I have to sign up? Do I have to get on you? No. Just go there. Boop! And you can watch. You could use it in your church, your ministry. Inspire people. Let them see this. That's one. That's a gift for you. Also, I don't have any more of these left. People say, I got to get a copy of Divine Appointment. I want to know how to write a track. My wife today gave me, she's got about 20. And Mel, if it's not there, it should be in my little bag. She said, give it to me. If you're interested, you say, no, just don't do it and then throw it out. But if you say, I need to do a track, I've thought of this for you. Take my wife's track and use any of that. The first part is her little story for three parents. But the rest of it, how do you get right with God? And feel free. You say, Larry, it costs money. Do it at home on your computer. I just ordered 500 from Durek Advertising. I do that all the time. Just last week, I got a box of them. I keep them in my... You say, well, what do you keep, Larry? Well, I'll tell you. I'm armed. Here you go, baby. They're always here. You see Bill Comfort? You say, yeah, I like Ray Comfort. That guy, he said once, you'll never catch me without a track. And if you do, I'll give you $10. You'll never catch... And a guy went, and I was at that conference. And this guy came up to him, and he said, ha-ha! He caught him in the pool. And he said, Ray, I get $10. You said we'll never catch you without a track. He said, you'll never catch me. He said, reached his swim trunks, and he had a coin that had the gospel on the back. Are you ready? Come on. That guy. Would you stand? And Sam, if you'd come up, and come on. Oh, Daniel. And I'd like to ask you, just stand just for a moment in the presence of the Lord. Father, we need your heart in this hour. We need fresh discernment. We don't want to be deceived. You said right before your return, four times, the number one sign is deception. We don't want to be deceived as we go about our lives and our neighborhood, at school, work, offices, and just our little private world, assuming everybody's fine, everything's going to be fine. Lord God, help us discern. Give us words of knowledge that could break something beautifully with somebody in private, shared sensitively. God, would you impart something of your heart of compassion? Jesus, Matthew 9, you looked at the crowds and you said they're harassed. They're helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Lord, give us some of that compassionate heart. We need it, Lord. Break up the fallow ground. Lord God, soften our hearts. Help us, Lord God. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me when I've been critical. I see a movie star. I see some activist, somebody on The View screaming against Christians or something. Lord, forgive me and help me to always remember they're lost. They're in darkness. The devil blinds the minds of unbelievers. Lord, help me. And then, Lord, would you help me to be creative? To find ways to serve people, love people, build bridges, care for them. When somebody moves into a neighborhood, to be able to say, hey, hi, welcome. I just want you, here's my phone number. If there's something I can do to help while you're here, help me when somebody at the office, help me be discerning when I hear of somebody, well, that lady down the street just lost her husband, or that guy at work, he's going through a divorce. May I not just whisper a quiet little prayer? May I reach out? Take an interest. Accept people. Care for people. May people say, you're different. What is it? Always be ready to give an account to those that ask it. Lord, we want to be that way, but we got to be in proximity. And so, Lord, I'm going to ask Daniel and Sam to pray. And, Lord, we just ask you, lead us where we go from here, how we approach things. We don't want the enemy. He comes immediately to steal the word out of the heart. Jesus, you taught us. And we ask you to seal this word to our heart. May we make use of the resources you give us. And Lord, we're just trusting you. We're believing you for a fresh work. As Mario shared some things, and now I keep building on this, Father, for the glory of God, the advancement of your kingdom, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Daniel, Sam, if you'd pray, and we'll close.
Yes, Father, I just thank you, God. I just thank you for, thank you that the harvest is ripe. Lord, I was just so inspired and blessed by that video. God, I just pray, Lord, you would practically just instill those into our lives, Lord. Compassion and being inconvenienced for the gospel, Lord. I just pray we'd pray for divine appointments, Lord. And Father, Lord, I thank you that we're carriers of your Holy Spirit. So everywhere we go is a divine appointment. And so, Father, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would give us that mindset, God. When a new neighbor moves in, you see a divine appointment. It's because they're living right next to someone filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. I just pray that. I pray, Holy Spirit, Lord, give us your eyes of compassion like Jesus. To see people like sheep without a shepherd. Lord, harassed and helpless, Lord, give us your eyes, God. Give us your eyes. Father, I pray we'd walk in bold love, Lord. I just thank you. Father, I just pray you wouldn't complicate your gospel. Wouldn't complicate the communication of the gospel, Lord. And Lord, we would just allow the mouth to speak out of the overflow of the heart, Lord. Lord, we'd talk to people just like we would anybody else, but just about Jesus. So, Father, Lord, I pray you walk in true love and your compassion in Jesus' name.
Father God, we just come before you so humbled and blessed and just overflowing with your love, Father God. And we thank you so much. Lord, I do come into agreement with what Pastor Larry and Daniel have shared and prayed, Father God. And Lord, I ask that you would break our hearts for what breaks yours, Lord. That you would inconvenience us with the breaking of our hearts, Father God, for what breaks yours. Lord, we ask for those divine appointments, Father God, that are filled with inconvenience of our time, of our resources, of our finances, of our emotions, Father God. Lord, that you would empty us of ourselves and fill us with your Holy Spirit so that your kingdom is advanced, Father God. Not our agendas, not our bank accounts, not our names, Father God, but your kingdom be advanced. Lord, I just thank you for this time, God. Lord, I ask you for more mature people within the church to pour into the younger generations, Father God. What a blessing to listen to Pastor Larry today, Father God. I want to see more men and women of biblical integrity, Father God, just like Pastor Larry, that have long suffered years of ministry, Father God. Their own private heartaches, their own private sufferings. God, that you've shown them how to suffer gracefully, Father God, and how to run their race well, Lord. God, I ask you for more of those leaders so that we can look at them and see you, Father God, and be encouraged to keep going when it's rough, when it's beyond saddening, when it's beyond grief, God. That we would have those godly examples as encouragement, Lord. And so, God, I just ask that you would just fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would impart today on us what Pastor Larry was talking about. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can go and be doers of your word, not just listeners. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Jerry said he'll put this up at the end. The book, Clap Your Hands, that went out. And again, tell people. Give it away. Bob Weiner said, look, do it as an audio book and give it away. I said, well, that's going to cost some money. And he said, don't worry about it. Do it. And then he gave me $500 towards it. I said, Bob, you're a man of faith. All you got to do, Jerry's going to put it on the screen. And we'll show you in a second. And also this. There's two books here. One is, you know, a lot of people, they don't know what to do with their kids today. They're afraid. They don't know what with schools, their curriculum and all that. There's only 10 of these, but this will help them. This could be something you could give them. I brought 10 of these on how to raise your loving, respectful children. And then here's one. All I need to say is, it's called Reckless Abandon. I brought 10 of these. Lou Engel said of this, he said, this message changed the entire course of my life. Lou Engel. This message. Be reckless with a reckless abandon. So those are there. And Jerry, where do we get, if you want, the audiobook and send us off?
There it is.
Oh, there it is.
And Larry, thank you so much.
Okay.
Let's bless the Lord. Come on, let's give him praise. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Time well spent. Because, you know, these times are times of inspiration, times of revealing, right? And, you know, the greatest enemy against the church has been fear. Well, what if? Put that under your feet. I was able recently to be on a podcast with Larry and told my story of the Jesus Movement. And then just recently did another podcast on Charisma Media, Jesus Movement Now, with Adam Narcisco. I think that's how he says his name. And I was telling these same stories. The power is here because he's in you. And if he's in you, there's no power. There's no power that can destroy the light that is in you. So, Father, we agree as we dismiss here. We're not going to just listen to this message, but we're going to be transformed by the truths.
Yes.
And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you'd like to come up for prayer from Larry or Daniel or Sam, feel free to do so. God bless you, and we'll see you next month here. God bless.